You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. To reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Here's the thing. Information is power. Information is money. Literally, the currency of today's world of entrepreneurship is information. And if you could bring all of the information about your business into one dashboard, this is incredibly valuable. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of the truth about your business. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. This is so valuable. You just hit a button and you can see all the information about your business instead of having to like call five different departments and get all these emails and put it all together and make sense of it. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
So, idea list of the day. They've been doing really well. Jay, what was the last idea list of the day one that we did?
I think it was the Japanese concept.
Oh, yeah. The 10 different Japanese concepts like Ikigai and Wabi-Sabi, all this stuff. That was really fascinating, actually. Today, we're going to do 10 things to ignore in 2022 by Bill Bergerman. And Bill wrote this idea list on notepad.com, N-O-T-E-P-D, no A, notepad.com without an A. And it's a place where it's sort of like Twitter, but add in all these, everybody's writing thousands of idea lists and they're searching idea lists and they're having idea sex with idea lists, meaning you take two lists and you combine them and create a new idea list. And on. There's so many great idea lists, and we're kind of featuring idea list of the day in these episodes, these sub episodes.
Yeah, and also the difference between Notepad and Twitter is that Notepad is not owned by Elon Musk.
Right. Notepad is for by the people for the people. So
it's like Robin Hood.
So Bill Berg. So I'm joined by Jay, Robin, Paolo, who is co-founder of Notepad, and let's do it. 10 things to ignore in 2022 by Bill Bergerman. First off, what does it mean to ignore it?
Well, I think ignore it is just like, I felt like it's hard to ignore because you have to acknowledge every news out there. Ignore it just that you just don't read into the headline and click on the article. That's
you mean,
why
you're saying in this one case where if you ignore news.
Yeah. It's like, because if you look at news or if you need to read anything current, like the headline will pop up no matter what. And also, like, I do agree that the less you click on the headline that's related to the current news that you don't care about, I think Google algorithm would just show it less.
But Jay, let me ask you this, and all of you guys. From 2010 to March 2020, I didn't look at any news at all. I would never look at Google News. I would never look at any news website. I never picked up a newspaper. And during this time, actually, I would go on news shows. And people would say, how do you get informed? And my assumption is that you just kind of know what's going on. Like, even if you never read the news, you would know there was a war going on between Russia and Ukraine. Right. And you would know kind of the basics about it because everyone's talking. People are only really talking about the stuff they remember and the most important parts. And then you have your opinion based on everything you already know. And better to read books on history of Russia and Ukraine so then you could comment on the war, not see the latest, like, oh, there was a bombing here, there was a bombing there. But in March 2020, I made the mistake of starting to read the news. Robin and I were doing these Instagram lives every day about how to interpret COVID stuff. And because there was so much misinformation in the news, which now we realize was all misinformation. Nobody knew anything. So it was good to have a different perspective. But then I started getting a little depressed reading the news. Like, it's really good. I agree with Bill here. He just says mainstream news. I say ignore all news and have an attention diet for, like, because we don't need, none of it will change your life. Knowing any piece of news will, none of it will change your life. And instead of that time, let's say the 45 minutes a day you read news or the 2 hours a day you look at news, you could be doing so many other things. You could be reading a book. You could be spending time with loved ones. You could be, you know, watching TV and having fun, playing games.
And also writing ideas on Notepad.
Exactly. So, Robin, Paul, what do you guys think?
I feel like I have to listen to some of the news just because when I trade stocks, I have to know what's going on.
Yeah, but I trade stocks and the news. Look, I used to be a financial journalist in the Wall Street Journal. I could tell you more than anyone that none of those writers for those publications know anything. Like, if you listen to them,
I don't listen to them.
Zero. But I'm not even saying their recommendations. Their news, their interpretation of earnings is always wrong.
I don't read that. I just look at what's going on in the world, and then I just make my own. Like, I think, okay, we're, you know, going into war. Okay, I need to get oil. I need to buy this. I need to do that. That's what I do.
So Robin, just look at the news in a more general terms.
Actually, I saw her in action, and so did actually everybody on Notepad. When Ukraine and Russia went to war, I didn't see you looking at news, but you started doing research right away. What commodities are in the Ukraine?
Right.
And you started buying all those because the supply was going to go down. And so the commodities were going to go up, like wheat. And right. you had a doomsday portfolio. If you search for doomsday portfolio on Notepad, people will see all those stocks you recommended are up huge and the market's down.
Right. So that's what I do. That's what I use the news for. It's just information.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't... What would you call that, a news though?
Yeah, that's not news. Like, that's news, like, research.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have to know what's going on in the world. So it is sort of news.
By definition, it's new information, right? So it can be news.
Yeah, but you just had to read one headline that, okay, Russia and Ukraine are at war. And then you could have come up with the exact same doomsday portfolio doing research.
Right. So technically, Robin didn't really read news, but she get the information.
Yes, you did a lot of research, but I don't think none of the links you sent me were actual news. Some of them were very in-depth articles about commodities, but...
Right. No, I look at certain things and I just sort of take a world view of what's going on, a snapshot, and then I go from there.
Yeah. All right. That's acceptable.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. So I don't think that's considered mainstream news, you know? So I think that's a little bit different.
What about you, Paul? Do you read the news?
None whatsoever. Yeah. I think there's a line, was it Mark Twain? If you don't read the news, you're uninformed. If you read the news, you're misinformed.
Aren't you the one that told me that Elon Musk about to finish the deal?
Yeah, but it's because I'm on Twitter, right?
That's what I mean. You just
I need
absorb.
To go into the belly of the enemy.
Yeah.
Understand
the belly of the beast.
Yeah.
But that's just what I mean, though. You absorb the things anyway. Like, it's not as if he is holding his hand up and saying, oh, no, that's news. I can't see it. Like, some news bubbles to the top and you can't help but observe it. But to actually, like, you know, oh, here's my latest New York Times. Oh, here's some.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm going to go on CNN.com.
These are just opinions.
Yeah, it turns out that most of the news in the end, it's irrelevant, right? If you hadn't read it 1 year ago, you know, what would be the difference?
Yeah, right? like, like, for instance, today, big news, Twitter's board okays the sale to Elon Musk. Twitter's going to sell to Elon Musk. How is this possibly going to affect any of our lives?
I'm going to make more money on my stock.
See, well, Roman is smart.
Wait, you own Twitter?
Yes.
Good for you.
I was thinking about buying Twitter like last week. I saw the news. I'm like, maybe I should buy it. And then I'm like, nah. I bought more today.
It's not too late.
I mean, I did bought a little bit, like very tiny amount.
It's only going to go up from here.
But wait, what's it going to go up to though?
I don't know. It's been up in the 70s.
Why would it go up in the 70s? He's going to buy it for 54.
Right. But I'm just saying though, anything that he touches, it's sort of, I don't know. It's going to get a lot more attraction now for both sides. But I think it's going to be more centric.
I think now trade has stopped because of the announcement. And by definition, the more information there is and the more certainty that the buyout is going to be at 54, then the market price is going to go to 54. Right?
Yeah, it'll only go higher than 54 if someone else makes an offer. And that's possible. But also if the deal falls apart, and Elon Musk is a very, you know, remember he said he was going to take Tesla private and then he didn't. If Elon Musk pulls out, the stock will go back to like $40.
Yeah, and that's actually interesting because the news now has been out for like a week or so, right? But the price a week ago was very far away. It was like 40 or something, which basically meant that the market had a lot of uncertainty about the deal going through, right? Which, of course, now it's not the case, right? Now the information is clear that the deal is going through. The price goes at 54. Otherwise, it would be clear as sort of arbitrage opportunity, right?
Yeah, I mean, right now, okay, he's offering 54.
Yeah.
And it's at 51.69 it closed at. So that's $2.30 you could make if you buy it now. And let's say the deal closes in 3 months. That's about, that's a good annualized return. So you could do an arbitrage here. You could buy it for 51.69 and then ultimately sell it to Elon Musk for 54 on the day the deal closes. And but the risk is it goes to 40.
Who would sell it now?
Well, you would sell it now if you felt nervous that the deal wasn't going to go through, or if you've been holding it since 40 and now you don't want to. Oh, you don't want to take the final $2 of risk when it could go back down to 40. You know, it's actually trading for like a 20% annualized return right now. If you do the arbitrage play, not to get into the details of that. So it's an interesting play, but you have to have a lot of confidence that he's going to finish the deal or someone else is going to make an offer.
I'm pretty sure he's going to finish the deal.
So, but the thing is, Len, is this something to ignore or not?
I think if you're an investor, you only need to know the headline and you need to know the buy price. And then you have to use your own research to determine what's the likelihood that he's going to buy it and what's the likelihood that maybe someone else, you know, is going to make an offer. And so then that's where you do need to know all this stuff if you're going to play the stock. But in terms of your daily life, it doesn't change anything.
No,
it doesn't. That's why I don't get why people are crying over on the Twitter like, oh yeah, my freedom of speech. No,
but
is gonna
it's clearly for the politics of it, right?
Oh yes, that's why. Yeah,
that's the only reason why people care.
It's controversial.
But like even like let's say he's alt right and the former owners were alt left. Yes, on the fringes, some tweets get censored or you know you can't see them anymore. But I barely even look at the feed during the day anyway. I barely look at it. So how's it going to affect our lives one way or the other? And by the way, he's not alt-right as far as we know. He's kind of in the center.
He is in the center.
Yeah, but of course, like you know, it's not going to affect us, but it affects the people that are complaining, right? There's always the idea by Nassim Taleb that there's a vocal minority, right? You just need a small vocal minority who's not willing to change their mind, and they're going to make a difference nonetheless, right? So that's why it seems like, oh, everyone is dying because of it,
exactly.
But it's just a few people who like to tweet a lot.
What would happen if he just dismantled it?
He's not going to
go. Where would everyone go? No, I know, but I'm just saying that where would everyone go?
Notepad, obviously.
Notepad. We'll take in everyone. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Who else is going to go? Well, I do think that like some news company going to get affected on Twitter because that's their bread and butter. That's why I think they're nervous about it. Most people that cry.
But why? Why would a new... They're not going to get censored. He's not going to censor anybody.
No, that's why. Because, you know, that's the whole point on news is about, you know, like competing with other news outlet. If other news outlet got censored, they win. You know, they get more money. So if
I see. So you're saying like the big news companies will be threatened by, let's say, the Alex Joneses of the world who will no longer be censored on Twitter.
Yes.
Okay.
You know,
maybe.
They will lose part of their market share.
I think what Musk is probably going to do with Twitter is change the algorithm to be more TikTok-like. So if you remember on the podcast, Mark Cuban was saying how TikTok got the best algorithm and he described it a little bit. And they very quickly, if a tweet or if a TikTok video gets more usage than statistically the average video gets, it gets pushed in front of everybody. So I bet you Elon Musk will start changing the Twitter algorithm to be more like the TikTok algorithm. So you can start seeing tweets that are not from your the people you follow, but also trending the tweets that are trending very quickly upwards.
Right. I mean, this...
So it'll value cool quality content more.
Yeah. And also I do like the idea of him, like, I wish that he would bring back a page focused on who get shadow banned and who got banned, you know, like, so you would know. It's more transparent that way. Like,
but he's not going to ban anyone. He's not going to shadow ban anyone.
No,
he's totally against censorship. Yeah. So I mean, this is why it's not going to change my life at all or anybody's life that I know.
And also Twitter is like a private company anyway.
It is
not private company in terms of like, you know, people are running it. It's not owned by government or whatever. So it's not going to change anyone's life. Anyway, what else should we ignore in 2022?
Right. So this guy did say whatever Elon Musk is doing, we should ignore. That's his number 9. Because his point is that, okay, the guy announces things and everyone goes crazy, like buy GameStop stock.
Yep.
And then
Dogecoin.
And Dogecoin, like whatever. But I do agree with that nothing Elon Musk has done to date has changed my life at all. Now, he does say ignore everything Kim Kardashian is doing.
I agree with that.
I mean, not so sure.
Really? I mean,
that is what, so boring.
Why do we need to know what Kim Kardashian is doing?
It's because it affects the music of Kanye West.
Yes.
That's a big
problem. You know, they broke up.
Yeah, that's why it affects his music.
Yeah,
right?
Kanye West now
sings songs about Jesus.
Yeah, Kanye West is like an OCD and bipolar. So whatever's happening in his life gets magnified in his music. And, okay, the guy... By the way, interestingly, this is related to Twitter because that's Snoop Dogg wanted to be the CEO of Twitter. Kanye West wanted to be president. But, you know, Kanye is a very creative producer. So it's always interesting to see what his next genre of music or generation of music is like. But okay, some gossip I find to be kind of funny. But you're right. It's probably not worth knowing about.
Yeah, because unless you really care about Pete Davidson.
I don't. Actually.
Exactly. Then you do have to care about Kim Kardashian's.
Okay, here's another one. The U.S. midterm elections. I totally agree with this guy on this, with Bill. That why do we care about who's... Okay, maybe Congress or Senate goes from Democrat to Republican or whatever, which just means less will get done. And I think history has shown that the most successful periods in the American economy is when the president is of a different party than Congress. So either way, it probably doesn't affect us at all. Like if you think about it, what actions in Congress, well, it's hard to say that during COVID because they shut down the entire economy. So, but other than that, what does Congress ever do that changes your life?
I mean, definitely not mine.
I mean, although by definition, you know, your argument doesn't stand because we just have proof that the economy and everything, right? So
yeah,
it just needs to be right once, and it was right now. So, you know, yeah.
Okay, but his point is though, there's nothing we could do about it. So
yes,
so that's the other thing is not only will most things not affect your life, but even when they do, there's very little we could do about it except find the loopholes if you were so inclined. Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a three-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a three-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long, and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you could try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop, really, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast, and the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. You know, the other thing I want to say about news is that whenever there's a period in my life where other people are writing about me for whatever reason, there's 100% like untruths in there. I don't want to say outright lies because that sounds malicious, but 100% of the time, whenever an article mentions me, there's something that is completely not true in the article. And so I just wonder if that occurs to me, it's got to occur in basically almost every other article out there, unless I'm special, which I'm not.
There's a cognitive bias for this. It's called the Gelman amnesia effect. And the idea is that if you read a, you know, I have a PhD in physics. If I read about physics and it's an article on the, you know, Washington Post, I read it and I say, oh my God, this makes no sense whatsoever, right? They're saying things completely wrong, right? But if I read an article about, foreign politics and I say, oh wow, so interesting. But of course, someone who knows that topic is going to read about it and clearly say, oh, that's bullshit, right? So it's always that.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, everything is bullshit.
So it's true.
It's true.
Like, there's really no reliable piece of news, except when you do your own research, as Robin did when she put together her doomsday portfolio, and then you feel confident enough to put your money where your mouth is, as she did. What else would you ignore? And this is not just for 2022. This is for life in general. Like, what other things do you ignore? Like, forget this list for a second.
I mean, for me, it's just news. Like, literally just news that I would ignore.
I ignore most advice. Like, if someone gives me investment advice, I'm not going to listen.
What do I ignore? I don't know. What do I ignore? I feel like I'm very gullible. I just listen to everything.
See, I'm gullible too, which is why I tell myself in advance not to listen to things people tell me. Because I'll just believe whatever people tell me.
I think the advice thing you mentioned, it's actually very interesting because I'm the same. I avoid most advice, but I seek a lot of advice. I always ask people for advice, but then I mostly ignore it. But I always think that, you know, maybe I'm just thinking about things in one way and I'm not looking at some possibility or option that they may bring up. So I always like to ask for a lot of advice because I want to see other people's point of view on things.
And perspective, yeah, that's true.
Right. Are you also like looking for advice that you agree on though? That's the
No, usually not. I mean, that's normal, right? People just want to be heard, be told that they're right, right? I think that's just normal.
Yeah, yeah.
But but it's interesting though. Like most advice people give, you could also find someone you equally respect who gives the opposite advice. Like one person will say, eat meat primarily, and another person will say, eat fruit primarily. And they're both smart people who maybe are dietitians for all we know. And they're both giving equally powerful advice. So that's why it's hard to, like think of advice someone could give you that you haven't heard the exact opposite somewhere.
That's why I feel like it's good to like understand your own feelings and your own gut feeling with things.
Yes.
I think it's super important.
Like, let's say someone, like, okay, let's just take a classic piece of advice, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but, you know, we've done a bunch of podcasts about the four agreements. The first agreement is always be impeccable with your word.
Right.
So I could think of people saying, well, listen, don't always be, like in business, for instance, a lot of people say under-promise and over-deliver. I don't agree with that, but that's not being impeccable with your word, for instance. And yet people are very serious about giving that advice. Under-promise and over-deliver. That is in direct conflict with be impeccable with your word.
Yeah, I mean, they're not true, you know, rules of nature. It's just words that people came up with, so there's no underlying truth to any of those. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so you just kind of have to decide in the situation.
Yeah, and also like humans aren't born with manual, so like we don't know who has the best advice out there. And and also like advice is like relationship. It has to be at the right time, right place, and you know,
and for the right person too. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and then this person says, and by the way, I kind of agree with this, even though it goes again. You might not think I agree with this, but his number one thing of 10 things to ignore in 2022 is cryptocurrency, and the part of me that agrees with that is that if you're not going to invest in cryptocurrency, you shouldn't read about it or know anything about it at all, because only like 1% of the transactions in the world or less are being done with cryptocurrencies. So why do we need to know about it? Now, if you're looking at it as a long-term investment, maybe you start to research it and so on. Like, you could choose to research it, but he's choosing to ignore it, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. I felt like even though if you're investing in it, you shouldn't pay too much attention about it. You could, you know, you could still read into it a little bit, but like reading into like cryptocurrency or anything that you're investing in, it's very, very tiring, which I experienced firsthand 2 years ago. So I'm like, the world is, you know, we close our economy. Now I'm going to try to do in crypto. I read a bunch of different things. And like you said, like their advice is everywhere because someone said this is the best. Someone said this is the worst. So like if you're invested in cryptocurrency and you really believe in that one or two coin, you know, you shouldn't be reading too much about the whole industry.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like for instance, I own Ethereum. Probably only once a week will I check what the price is. And I shouldn't even do that. Like you shouldn't really, you know, when I first was owning stocks like 20, 25 years ago, I would refresh Yahoo Finance every second just to see where my stock's going, because you had to refresh then. And now, and I realized that was, and when I was day trading, I mean, that's what I did for a living, was basically look at every tick of every stock. And it was just such a waste of time.
But then that's also the difference even for crypto, right? It depends if someone, you know, owns crypto to hold it for the long term or if they're doing day trading. Right. If you're doing day trading, you cannot help but, you know, inform yourself and see what happens, right?
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to make the money. So it's, if you're just getting Bitcoin, hoping that the value will be still up in 10 years, then of course it's completely different, but that doesn't make it, you know, like, useless to be informed, right?
Like Warren Buffett always says, the best investment now is if you think a company is going to be around 20 years from now, it's a good investment now. And so you don't have to, I mean, when I was, this is why I stopped day trading, because I got sick of looking at things like every second or every day, or it was just awful.
It's so bad for your health to like just sit on your sit on your chair, and then you're gonna get fat.
There you go.
I'm not fat shaming, but you know, just be healthy and walk around. Don't buy standing desk. Standing desk is a fake.
Is it really? Are you giving advice?
Yeah. Well, because like I hate it, because I was an IT person in some digital marketing company, and I have to set 10 a day, and then I set it, and then 2 months later they stopped using it. This is wasting my energies. And they're pretty heavy too.
Ugh, yeah.
All those people.
Yeah. Did you get in better shape with a standing desk?
I mean, they're not. They still sit on their fat ass all the time.
Well, you could get a bicycle.
I mean, bicycle is good. Or the treadmill.
What you're doing.
Like the Ben. Like, yeah, the Ben Greenfield had one. Those are good. Like if they stand and walk at the same time.
Yeah, you can write an idealist 10 ideas for Peloton.
Yeah.
They can use it.
I think we got to write 10 ideas for Elon Musk on Twitter also. We've got a couple. So so what else do you choose to ignore, or are you choosing to ignore?
I just did this recently. Paolo's going to be disappointed in me. I choose to ignore my calorie intakes.
Your calorie intakes?
Yeah, because I got stuffed way too much.
Okay, so I'm going to give you two pieces of advice. The only thing that determines weight gain or weight loss is calories consumed versus calories burned. Like that's the only thing. But on the other side, good calories are different than bad calories in terms of health.
Yes.
So I just gave you two exact pieces of advice that are probably both equally good.
Yeah.
Or
I have equally to ignore bad. My Captain Crunch.
Or equally bad. Yeah. Like so like if you want to lose a lot of weight, you starve yourself. But if you want to be healthy, I don't even know what a healthy diet is, because there's all sorts of advice on that.
Yeah.
I have to ignore my Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, for the first time in like 45 years maybe, I had some Captain Crunch because Robin got Captain Crunch. And
are they good?
They're really good. But I haven't had them in 45 years because my father banned Captain Crunch from my house when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because he literally said to me, this will rot your brain, as he was pouring it into the garbage, and I was in shock. Like I loved it, and he was just pouring it in there. Like he took the Fruit Loops, the Captain Crunch, and Sugar Pops. It was called Sugar Pops then. Now it's called Corn Pops. And he poured it all away. And he says, "This will rot your brain if you eat this stuff."
See, if I am a Michael Bay and making James biography, a movie one day, that scene's gonna be epic.
But wait,
you know when he's gonna pour it, and then Hans Zimmer's writing the scores, and then there's explosion everywhere.
Yeah, doesn't somebody have to like? Don't aliens have to crash through the roof then? And
yes,
and then grab me and take me to space.
And it only happened in U.S. No other country. Only happened in the United States.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah, but I have to say, I never have Captain Crunch in my life before.
Well,
don't start.
Okay. Yeah.
Start because it's excellent. I'm just giving the opposite advice. And it probably won't hurt your brain as much as my dad thought it would anyway. So
yes.
That's pretty much determined what your brain is. Although, right. I don't know, whether you are good at making decisions or not is related to how much sleep you have prior nights and what kind of food you eat, I guess, and your stress levels. So maybe it'll affect you. I don't know. But everybody else should write their list of things that we should ignore over the next year. And this list was called 10 Things to Ignore in 2022 by Bill Bergerman. And he posted it on Notepad, notepd.com. And it was an interesting list. It's got almost 5,000 views, six comments. And that's it. Stay tuned for the next idea list of the day. Alice, is there anything else you guys want to add? Anything else you're ignoring? Maybe you're ignoring me.
Yeah, the end of the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I will ignore James in 2022. Okay, thanks a lot, you guys.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.